Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
Mute that.
Good morning, Schmoville!
Hey, Schmoville, we're back.
We are back. Jeff Snyder here for the wrap, and we are joined by our special co-host today, Josh Dickey, for the entertainment editor at Mashable. Mark Riley is out shooting people's sexiest fanboys photo shoot.
Is that a real thing?
No, I wish it was.
Oh, man, I was believing that for a minute. And I was disappointed that I wasn't selected.
Yeah, no, Mark and I will be back next week. There's been a bit of a break. I was on vacation back in Boston the last 2 weeks, and now it's his turn to go away. So we will reconvene next week for, I think, what is going to be close to our one-year anniversary show.
That's... A 1 year.
I don't know if it's next week or the week after. I'll have to check the calendar. But
we'll have to make a post about that. We love our anniversary posts.
Exactly. The top five moments from Meet the Movie Press over the past year. But thank you guys for tuning into the Popcorn Talk Network. And as always, be sure to comment, subscribe, all that stuff that Riley usually handles. I don't know the prompts, guys. You know? Just bear with me on this. So, Dickie, we are... this is our post-Comic-Con sort of wrap-up show. I was in Boston. I've never been to Comic-Con anyways, but I was following from afar. You were there. You were in the thick of the action. So what were your impressions? What was your experience like this year down in San Diego?
I am a Comic-Con panel jockey junkie. I just love to sit in Hall H. I love Comic-Con. I don't care what anybody says that it's a, you know, shout out to James Rocky. I know that it is a terrible, crass marketing opportunity for the studios, but I love it. I have a great time in the pit there. And it was a weird year. It was a really weird year because basically you had, of the six major studios, only two of them really showed up.
Right, most of them sat out.
Yeah, everybody sat out. Paramount completely sat out, which they've been known to do before. No Marvel this year, which was really weird. The Saturday night slot was filled by Fox, which was great, by the way. You know what? In terms of just filling in for Marvel and the sort of pimp slot on Saturday night, Fox did a great job.
They delivered, it seems like.
They had, you know, it was Superhero Saturday. I mean, we had Star Wars Friday, Thursday, I don't even remember what we had that day, but it was definitely Superhero Saturday, and we got a huge dose of it, obviously, in the morning with Warner Brothers and Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. But Fox, I think, stole the show. I think that Deadpool footage, look, you know, I try to gauge things by the way that people react to them in the room. I know that's not a great indicator of things, at least in terms of box office or what have you, but... Just in terms of how well did you do at Comic-Con, people jumped to their feet and applauded and started screaming, play it again, right after that Deadpool
footage.
Did they? Oh, yeah. There was only one other time the whole weekend where people leapt to their feet and applauded, and that was after the Batman versus Superman.
Was that the only trailer that got, like, an encore? Or
no, they usually play play them a second time.
Okay.
And they played it a second time, and people loved it just as much that second time.
It definitely seemed like the movie that got the biggest bump. And I was on the Schmoes No main show last night talking about how I didn't really get it. I think my problem is with the character. I know that he's a wise ass, the merc with a mouth, if you will. But I saw the leaked footage, so I didn't see it the way that it was properly intended. But I didn't get it. Jokes about testicles and avocados and things like that.
If you didn't get it, then you're probably not going to get it. It's not like seeing it in high def is going to suddenly make you go, oh, wow, okay, no, totally. Because the visuals are cool, but that's not... It is about the character. You either love Deadpool or you sort of don't get Deadpool. I think there's not a lot of in-between.
I can see how he's going to stand out in the marketplace as an R-rated superhero movie. A little bit more adult and edgy.
Look, he had a bullet explode three dudes' heads, and like there's stuff in there that's gonna be super gnarly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gonna be hard, gory R.
Did you get a sense of what the story was? Because I was unclear. Like, what is he trying to stop or save or that kind of thing?
I think he's probably. I mean, look, it's an origin story. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of it is tagged to him first being Wade Wilson, just the sort of smartass, husband. Possibly father. I don't think he's got kids at that point, but you know, it's going to be an origin story. So I think we'll just see probably the first act is going to be all him going from cancer patient to reluctant superhero. And then probably It looks to me like it's like a Russian gangster kind of situation. At least if you're tying it back to the leaked visual effects footage that got this ball rolling in the first place, you know, he's attacking a carload of gangsters, essentially. So I think he's a little more of a street level hero. He's definitely not your cosmic level hero like the Avengers are becoming now, and he's not quite Daredevil level street level. Somewhere kind of floats in between.
Was there anyone in that footage who stood out other than Ryan Reynolds? It was like Gina Carano or anyone like that?
I remember Gina Carano's face or Miranda Baccarin, who I love and think is great. It's a cool cast. I mean, it's kind of like a cool... Oh, and T.J. Miller obviously got that one moment when they're talking about his face.
Right.
T.J. Miller cracks me up.
I think he's hilarious.
I'm
going to see the movie. I have reservations. And what I thought was funny is that all this Deadpool noise on the same weekend that Ryan Reynolds' other movie, Selfless, comes out and makes like $5 million.
It was a bad situation.
Super big bomb for Ryan Reynolds. And listen, here's the thing. There's so many superhero movies coming out that some of them are bound to fail. It is statistics. I hope it's not Deadpool. I don't think that Deadpool will fail. I don't know how much it costs, you know, like in terms of...
I had heard that they only were going to allow them to make that movie at a certain price point. I don't remember what
the
number was. It was pretty low, though.
90, like, maybe?
It was
75 to 90
It was definitely less than 100.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I think it will be okay in the scheme of things, but I don't think that it's going to be a gigantic blockbuster.
I don't think it's going to be like a mega blockbuster, oh my god, it's Guardians of the Galaxy-sized hit. But I think that Fox will be surprised at how much this character resonates and Marvel will be surprised at how much the movie pulls people into their comics. Because the Deadpool comics stand out. That's the thing about this character and about this project is that he's really very different from all the other superheroes for a lot of different reasons. I mean, he's very, very violent. He kind of enjoys the violence. He is very funny and he's a smart ass. But moreover, it's the fourth wall breaking thing where he talks to the audience.
Right.
And I think that people are going to really respond to that.
Okay. What did you make of X-Men Apocalypse?
It looks great. I mean, I think the X-Men movies just keep getting better, frankly. I think...
Were you a Days of Future Past guy?
And I'm not an X-Men guy. Back in the days of X-Men Origins, sort of through the first X-Men movie that I sort of was like, okay, I guess I can kind of get into this, was the Wolverine, which isn't technically an X-Men film. But anyway, that's about the time when I was like, okay, I think I'm down. And then I liked Days of Future Past a lot. I liked First Class. I liked Days of Future Past more. I think this one looks like it's even better. I think they just keep raising the stakes.
Interesting. Okay. I was not a fan of Days of Future Past. I really liked First Class. I love the cast of this new one with Apocalypse. I'm excited to see Oscar Isaac as the titular villain. I know Olivia Munn's been getting a ton of crap for her costume, like she picked it.
So is Oscar Isaac for the makeup and stuff.
Right.
It's like they're going full comic book. Like it's a comic book movie. Yeah, exactly. That's what it's supposed to look like.
That trailer I enjoyed more than Deadpool. We'll see. X-Men, to me, can be hit and miss.
I think the troubled one here is Fantastic Four.
But what are we basing this off of? Is it just the behind-the-scenes drama that everyone has read about that's been so public?
No,
don't think that the movie looks good?
I think the movie... I just think the characters are not resonant right now. I think that they're just a little old-fashioned. I think that it's a property that's not bouncing right now. They don't even have a comic book right now.
Right. Marvel's really screwing Fox over on this title. I just feel like that cast is so good, that young cast, and I like that there's like a body horror element to it, that they're these normal kids who, you know, fall victim to this freak accident or whatever, or experiment. And now they're struggling with their powers, and they feel like freaks.
I don't think that the movie is going to have a hard time being good. I think it's going to have a hard time selling it.
The bad buzz, so to speak, may be too difficult to overcome.
It feels like the kind of film that is a one and done. Like they're going to do it, and it's going to open to, you know, high 30s, mid 40s, and they're just going to go, eh.
But I like that late August debut because there's so few good movies that come out in August.
Yeah.
So I think it could own that month and play into mid-September. I think it could have some legs. We'll see. I know I've said some things about Josh Trank, but I did love Chronicle. And so regardless of what I think of him personally or how he conducts himself professionally, I think he's a really talented filmmaker. And he's surrounded by guys like Simon Kinberg. And I'd just be very surprised if they dropped the ball on that. I think they have big plans for the Fantastic Four as far as an X-Men crossover down the line.
All right. Well, I would love to see it. I hope it does well. I think it looks good. I like that cast a lot. I like Miles.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for him, but I just think they're going to have a hard time selling that as a big tentpole.
So let's hop over to DC and the Warner Brothers presentation, which blew me away. I mean, I tweeted and I got all kinds of crap from Marvel fans and stuff. I was just like, I'm clearly a DC guy. I'm just so... I love that, the darkness. I love both those trailers that came out, Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. So what was your takeaway from that panel?
I'm a Marvel guy, but that doesn't mean I can't appreciate and love DC, mm-hmm. and I want it to be good. I think Suicide Squad looks like it could be utterly ridiculous. It looks to me
in
like...
a good way or a bad way?
I don't know. It's so all over the place. Like, Margot looks terrific. I mean, I'm in the tank for Margot Robbie.
Yeah. Who
anyway,
isn't?
But she, the way she is approaching that character, and that's kind of perfect. I when she was cast, I was like, what the hell are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. that you should be Captain Marvel or somebody like beautiful and heroic. And I'm having seen the footage, and I'm like, no, that's you all.
She can get down and dirty.
She's going to crush that role. She might save that movie with that particular character, because I think the Joker looks ridiculous to me.
Oh, I think he looks so cool.
I'm sorry, but like all the ha 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 stuff on his shoulder and like the anyway, mm-hmm. we'll see. Well, I reserve the right to be wrong about that. You know, Will Smith right now is kind of having an uncomfortable moment in his career. I hope this kind of turns things around for him, because I really like him.
I like that he did not dominate the trailer. In fact, the first shot where you see him hitting the punching bag, I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah, no, I didn't either.
I had no idea. I love the trailer. I've watched it like 10 times in the past couple days. I love the music with that Bee Gees cover. I started a joke,
yeah.
or whatever. I've been listening to that independently on
YouTube.
There's
been a lot of chatter about that.
I just thought it looked terrific.
Well, I mean, look, and here's the other question too, and I would love for you to someday look at seeing about this. Are these Suicide Squad characters going to slam into Batman and Superman at some point? Like, are we seeing a convergence here? Because
I think so. I think that they take place in Batman's universe. I mean, I know Batman and Superman now share the same universe. I'm not sure if I see Superman getting involved with Batman's rogues gallery of villains, but
probably
I definitely
not.
Think Batman will be involved. I could see Suicide Squad playing into this new The Batman movie that Affleck's going to direct.
Which we should talk about that too, but before we do, I just had a thought. So Suicide Squad goes into this mission, probably ostensibly with the idea that if you are successful, you win your freedom? Or is it just...
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously they're going to save the day. Does that mean... Now they're unleashed on the world. Now suddenly...
They go back to a life of crime?
Right.
And
so Batman has to deal with suddenly all these horrible criminals who did this deed that needed to be done.
Is that
going to
be weird? Like, basically, we're sort of rooting for these villains in Suicide Squad, and then possibly down the line, we're rooting against them?
Right. Well, or
our loyalties are torn.
Yeah, which is the best part. When you're rooting for the villain and the hero at the same time, that's when these movies are really
fun. I like the little glimpse that we got of Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang. Kind of... I'm willing to go with that. I know he's taken a ton of crap too for all his franchise
moves. I'm not going to pile on to Jai Courtney right now.
I have faith in David Ayer. I did not like his last film, Sabotage, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he's done some really good work, and I think he's going to bring a certain amount of grit and flair to it.
And Batman versus Superman, just to put a pin on that, looks terrific.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I think those are two great leads. I think Ben Affleck looks just like he's the guy for it.
Dude, the shot of him running into that dust storm I thought was so badass.
Super cool.
But, the nice surprise for me, I know we didn't see him with a shaved head or anything, was Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was not sure about that choice at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the dialogue pieces that they chose for the trailer, I think, really showed a lot about what that character is going to be like. True to the Lex Luthor canon. I mean, in terms of just the personality type, but definitely its own
I don't need to see some gigantic, you know, a physical match for Batman and Superman, because really there shouldn't be a physical match. I'd like the idea of this guy who's, you know, an evil genius, if you will, and is going to use his brain to try and defeat these guys.
It really is, I mean, a little on the nose to say this, but yeah, to make Mark Zuckerberg essentially be the bad guy here is kind of a brilliant idea. I think Snyder is getting better and better, too. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this movie and maybe the next one that he does, and, you know, I think he's not the world's most nuanced storyteller, but his visual abilities and I think, honestly, his character development is pretty
decent. I really liked Watchmen. That's another movie that gets kind of crapped on sometimes unfairly. But I like his aesthetic. I think it's, you know, maybe one too many thing. Like, I don't need to see, how many has he done now? It's this one, Man of Steel, and then he's got two Justice League movies. Yeah. Like, that's a lot in the same sandbox. I did think it was interesting, though, with that report that Affleck is going to direct the Batman, which I think everyone kind of understood when he took on the role that he was going to end up directing himself at some point.
The studio's saying that that's kind of early. I mean, I don't think it's not going to happen, but I don't think that that's a done deal yet. I think it's still kind of floating.
I'm with you, but do you remember when at Variety we posted a story about Ben Affleck probably directing Justice League?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was before they had sort of mapped out their universe, and I don't know. I just think that these conversations have been going on for a long time with Ben. So yeah, we'll see if it happens.
How does a potential Suicide Squad sequel fit into all of this?
It's a great question. You haven't heard much talk about it.
Maybe there won't be. Maybe that is literally just their way of launching the villains into the Justice League world.
Right.
And it'll be a one-off.
And I mean, that would make sense to me because it is called Suicide Squad, and I'm going to be pissed if some of these guys don't die. I don't want every actor to have sequel options. Like,
There's definitely going to be some expendable characters in there.
Jay Hernandez and
Joe
Croc or whoever. A couple more trailers before we get to the news. The Revenant trailer hit this morning,
which
is lighting up Twitter now.
Yes, which we saw at CinemaCon and looks amazing.
Yeah, guys, if you haven't seen the Revenant trailer, we will not be mad at you. Step away or you know, open up a new tab on your browser and watch it right now. It looks amazing.
I'm kind of a sucker for gimmick things in movies. Like, you know, what was the Relativity movie where it was all real Navy SEALs who were
playing? Act of Valor. Yeah.
Act of Valor.
Which is good.
I thought that was kind of a neat idea. In this case, it's all natural light, right? That's kind of the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks different, though. I mean, it's like, wait a minute. I didn't even know a movie could look like that. I understand that it's not the first time that we've shot with natural light, okay? But something about that, in that sort of dusky darkness, and what's going on in the frame, really gives you a sense of realism.
This guy Lebesgue is going to win his third straight Oscar after Gravity and Birdman.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I think he's going to win his third straight cinematography Oscar. I love that shot of the bear kind of starting to maul Leo, because that plays a big part in the plot. And yeah, him and Tom Hardy are just two actors at the top of their game. Sign me up for that on Christmas.
And Tom Hardy coming off of another visual marvel with Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
He is somehow navigating his career very beautifully, I think.
Sure. Everyone's kind of swept Child 44 under the rug, which was which was really bad. And we'll see what happens with Legend, the movie where he's playing two gangsters, the Craze.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think it looked great, but I'm starting to hear some buzz that it may be pretty good. And then finally, we had the Joy trailer hit after its CinemaCon debut. This one was a little bit lighter than what we saw at CinemaCon, which was very heavy with those, like, bells, the church bells. I still don't know what this story
is really about.
I mean, I do, because as a film reporter, I know, but it's not coming across.
Well, I do not have a lot of exposure to the log line of this film, you know, nor do I know anybody who's read the script or knows the source material well. I just look at it and go, okay, it's David O. Russell. There's a Rolling Stones song playing. I see Jennifer Lawrence. I'm going to see it, but I couldn't tell you the first thing about what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, the Stones song was a little generic. It's an odd choice for Fox's marketing department. I feel like David O. Russell and Jennifer Lawrence have sort of earned the benefit of the doubt at this point. I'm stoked to see it. It's got a really cool cast. I want to know what the tone of this thing is. Is it really that dark? Because That's not what I was anticipating.
Does something horrible happen to her? I mean, it seems like she's very jaded. Like, it's like basically her running around being exasperated and jaded, which,
well,
yeah,
her husband, kind of Twitter. I think, you know,
it was the Twitter story.
The marriage isn't great. And then it sort of inspires her to go off and create her own thing, which is the Miracle Mom.
Right.
So, I don't know. Well, it's Jennifer Lawrence, though. It's going to be okay.
It's just, yeah, I guess it's one of those, you know, step out under the plank, walk of faith kind of films because of who's behind it. I mean, I didn't like American Hustle that much.
I really liked it.
I thought it was good, but I also thought it could have probably used an edit. That's kind of how I feel about most of his stuff now. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, come on, dude, crank it under two.
So before we get to the news and stuff, I wanted to ask you, since we used to work together, Variety and The Wrap, you know, if I was still under your employ, what sort of stories would you be having me look into? Because I feel like you come at things from a different perspective, and you don't want the same old boring stories that all the trades are offering all the time.
Well, I like things that are a little bit... I mean, listen, I love scoops. You know that. We were in the scoop game together for three different tours. Two tours on The Wrap and one Variety. And probably another one coming up in the future here someday. Who knows? Who knows how these things tend to shake out? And I love to chase the news. But I also like... I like notional scoops, and what I mean by that is like stuff, like an idea that maybe you had about something, a trend that you feel like is starting to happen, and are the first one to sort of point it out and back it up.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's really vague. I'm trying to think of a good idea of what that might be, but like, well,
there's no like hot story you would have me dig into right now, is there?
Well, I mean, not to be too obvious with the superhero stuff. I mean, the way that the DC universe is coming together is very interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they have a master plan. We know what Marvel's master plan is,
mm-hmm.
like all the way through this phase three. Actually, that's an interesting one too. Like Marvel's got everything mapped out through
2020
through 2020 now. Yeah. All right. Well, they always have a 5-year plan. We're in 2015, so now they're thinking about what to do next,
right,
with Iron Man, for instance. Mm-hmm. They're not just going to let Iron Man go off into the sunset. They're going to figure out something. You know, what's this sort of horizon thinking at Marvel right now? I'd love to know even just generally what that is. They're going to reboot the whole thing.
That's a tough story to get. Like, I feel like, you know, one of these really hot stories right now is what the hell's going on with Relativity. And Deadline and Variety have really been digging deep into that. We've kind of decided to stand back because... we don't know what we can believe at this point.
That's the problem. You have the horse's mouth talking directly to you. Ryan Kavanaugh will talk to you. The question is...
is he telling the truth?
What's really going on?
Yeah.
I would try to avoid that, too.
Exactly. It seems like such a shit show. We're just kind of like standing back and letting things play out a little.
Also, when's the last time Relativity dropped a movie that registered...
It's been
a long time.
I mean, that's why they're in the place that they're at.
Well, and I think they're in the place that they're at. Again, it's sort of turning on itself. They're in the place that they're at because they are in such deep doo-doo. They can't get a movie off the ground.
Yeah. I mean, it's depressing to me. A movie like The Bronze, which I thought was really funny as the opening night movie at Sundance, you know, they took that Relativity deal, and now they're just, like, in this weird limbo. They're supposed to come out in the fall, but, like, who knows if Relativity's going to have the P&A money to open these movies, that one, Masterminds.
It still even exist at that point,
right?
Or in what form?
Though, you know, the small comfort that I've taken in it is that the Crow seems to have fallen apart over there.
You really
just waiting for anyone else to pick that thing up?
Yeah. Well, it's weird. We were sort of ready to declare them a mini major at one point,
right?
I mean, they were cranking out movies, you know, like 10
movies
a year.
They're good for the business. They're another buyer. But you know, I was reading comments on Deadline, just like they don't pay the talent on time. You know, they have to be chased down for money. You know, these are just random comments on Deadline, so you never know what you can believe.
Well, I think their ambitions outran their capacity at some point. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really started to believe their own narrative that they were, you know, this multifaceted, complete vertical studio that could just crank out movies and acquire movies and distribute and also do, you know, they had the sports vertical and they had these digital initiatives and stuff. Like, they just, you know, as opposed to like, look at like A24.
Mm-hmm. That's a lean and mean operation.
Very
though.
Clear purpose, though. What they just acquire movies mm-hmm. that they like, and then they market the hell out of them, and they do it on the cheap with really smart guerrilla marketing stuff. And they're just a, you know, like, and that's it. They're not trying to get too fancy with it.
Right. I think Relativity's TV and sports business is sort of keeping that studio afloat. And even the sports business, though, was weird with the whole DeAndre Jordan Clipper stuff. And that's sports talk. We don't need to get into it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
They just overcomplicated everything.
We'll see what happens with that studio. I do think that STX shows a lot of promise. Robert Simon's studio, which has The Gift coming out in a few weeks, the Joel Edgerton, Jason Bateman thriller. Sharon and I sat down with Bob Simons for like an off-the-record chat, so I can't really say what we talked about, but they're an exciting company, and they got a lot of money to play with over the next year or so.
A really great guerrilla marketing thing, too. Did you know, with your friend Gordo on Twitter, did they do that to you?
No, they didn't do it to me, and I was bummed.
They did it to me.
But was it freaky?
It was weird.
What did they dig up from your past?
They went
will?
Down. So here's what they did. So the movie's about this guy who gets into the life of these two people, sort of, and he's like from this guy's past, and he sort of remembers him, right? He's from high school or something like that.
Yep.
And he, you know, as everybody knows somebody like this, he gets a little stalkerish, and suddenly he's sending them gifts, and it gets weird, and then it turns into this bizarro thriller.
Mm-hmm.
So, what they did, before I was even aware of the movie, I get a package one day at my loft, and it's a box, and it has, like, it has a letter from your friend Gordo. Hey, remember when we saw this fish show 5 summers ago? I haven't seen you since. You know, are you still playing guitar? And, you know, what's up with your Buick or something? Like, it was, like, personal details from my life.
Right.
And then trinkets. So there was a framed postcard from the fish show. There was a pack of guitar picks, and there was a Polaroid that was from my Instagram feed
mm-hmm.
from a long time ago.
That's unnerving.
It was unnerving. I was like, and at first I sort of fell for it. Like, I mean, I fell for it for about 5 seconds, and then I was like, okay, this is a marketing thing, and studios are doing
a lot of elaborate. And they've got a really good executive team over at STX, a lot of experience. It sounds pretty kind of innovative.
No. What it made me do is go online and look up your friend Gordo and, you know, started looking around, and then I found The Gift.
Right.
And read about what it was. And I didn't actually do this. I was tempted to post about it. I think it was just too busy that day. If it had been a slower news day, I might have written, like, look at this. And I've been kind of wanting to do that at Mashable. I've been wanting to do, like, that, do a feature that's just called, like, that's just good marketing or something. when it's like, I understand that I'm just showing you marketing materials, but this was really clever and I got to share it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was an example of that. And there's been a lot of that lately. There's been a lot of really clever ways of reaching out to journalists and making us pay attention to stuff that we might otherwise not.
Sure. I'd heard, because Blumhouse, The Gift hails from Blumhouse. They have a first look deal at Universal. This is STX.
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard that Universal had turned this one away. They were like, you know, we're good. And then once they saw the final product, they were kicking themselves. So we'll see if it's any good. I don't know.
Interesting.
I just got my first invite last night. For like 2 weeks from now.
It's interesting that there have not been a lot of thrillers in that vein lately. You know, in mm-hmm. the sort of Basic Instinct vein that have really popped.
Right. It's got a classy cast between the two guys and Rebecca Hall. I think it's just a smart bet for STX. For, you know, right out of the gate, a $5 million movie that is definitely going.
Is that all it costs?
Yeah, I think it's
really
cheap.
Oh, that's nothing. Yeah, then they'll make that back on VOD.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the news. Sorry, I had to take a photo of our breakdown because my computer's about to die. So let's start with Spider-Man.
Okay.
Okay, so we had in the past couple of weeks Marissa Tomei to play Aunt May.
Which everybody lost their minds about.
And it seems like, and Becca Ford sort of hinted at this in her article in Hollywood Reporter, that Aunt May may show up in Captain America Civil War.
Interesting. Okay.
Because why else do you need to cast her now? I mean, they just hired writers last night.
That's a good point.
There's no script yet.
But that movie is almost wrapped, right? I mean, they're getting close.
Sure, but I mean, you know, she's being cast like a week or two after Tom Holland, so, you know, all you need is a scene sort of setting up that relationship or whatever.
Sure.
I think when Kroll reported, he had said, like, they cast her now to, like, lock her down early. Like, I think she would have been available.
Yeah, I think she's doing anything that she otherwise might not be doing now.
I think that was a cover story for maybe her appearing in Civil War.
Interesting.
But yes, last night they hired John Francis Daley and Jonathan Goldstein, the directors of Vacation, to write the new Spider-Man movie for John Watts. What do you make of that hire?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit like the Lego Movie guys getting in. Like, I think, look, it's a Marvel property, so it's got to be funny. Mm-hmm. Right, it's got to have some humor to it.
Well, Kevin has talked about making this a little bit more John Hughes-y. Obviously, Vacation is a remake of a John Hughes project.
Right. I mean, I actually like it. I think it's a neat idea to think. And Spider-Man is the original smart-ass superhero. Mm-hmm. I mean, name one one-liner. Can you think of one one-liner from the Andrew Garfield movies?
No.
They all were just like.
So you think they're going to give this kid a little some snappy comebacks?
Yeah, I think he's going to be. He's got to be much funnier and much less like smarmy, and you know the tone of Spider-Man is everything. That right. You get the tone wrong just a little bit, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't work. Or something about those last two movies that just felt. Just, I don't know, like, almost like Spider-Man was kind of an a-hole.
Right.
Like, you know, like.
He's a cocky kind of, well, I guess he's supposed to have that chip on his shoulder, sort of.
Yeah,
right?
But you gotta be really
in
on
the,
his
when
side.
When he's in the suit.
You gotta be really working for him. Yeah, and then when he was not in the suit, he was this brooding.
He was still, yeah.
Emo teen, and it just didn't work.
Well, Vacation looks really funny.
I cannot wait
I
to
like
see that.
The idea of the kid from Freaks and Geeks. Writing a high school movie, because I think that he can capture that same sort of sense of awkwardness. But then again, you look at movies that they've written, like Horrible Bosses 2 and Incredible Burt Wonderstone, and the track record is mixed. It's
yeah.
mixed.
They also, well, I guess they do have to, whatever they come up with, they're not going to have a lot of time to turn it around
right.
if it doesn't work.
Yeah, so we'll see.
But we've seen it happen. It happened with Ant-Man.
Sure, exactly. And they rescued that one. So let's talk about Ant-Man before we go back to the news. That's a nice little segue. What did you think of the movie, which is now in theaters, guys? Check out Ant-Man
yeah.
this weekend.
Go see it. It's fun. I didn't think it's a perfect movie.
No.
There's
not.
A lot of... I think the emotional beats really fell flat. I don't think Corey Stahl brings a whole lot as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they gave him much to do. He's a very one-note character. And they lingered for too long on some of the establishing stuff, you know, in terms of setting the emotional stakes and what have you. But once it gets going, once it kicks in gear, and mm-hmm. it's some of the coolest looking action sequences that I've seen
yeah,
in Marvel movies.
Yeah, I love that third act. I think that third act kind of takes the movie to a next level that I hadn't seen in any other Marvel movies, because I haven't liked the ends of Marvel movies at all, whether it's from Iron Man to the Avengers movies. I think they're all kind of terrible. Marvel has an ending problem, and Ant-Man seemed to solve it. It does get off to a rocky start. It is a little slow, but I think it may have been my favorite Marvel movie.
The moments when he shrinks down and you look around at the world around you, I mean, if you've seen, you know, The Incredible Shrinking Woman and mm-hmm. or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or any of the old shrinking movies, it looks pretty schlocky. I mean,
sure.
It's like, you know, you can tell they're standing on a soundstage and there's a giant pencil there.
Right.
Something about the way they lit it and the way they paid attention to details like dust particles mm-hmm. and just the way the surface of things. And I actually talked to Peyton Reed about this for a story that I'll drop on Monday morning, just a little, you know, kind of look back at the film. They put a lot of sweat and energy into making sure that it looked right when they shrunk down. And you can tell, and you actually feel like, wow, this is what it would look like. If I was
that scene
a
in the briefcase,
tall.
I thought was great. I liked the bathtub scene, and obviously the last sequence with the railroad tracks. It was very inventive.
It's very playful and very funny. I mean, they really had some great sight gags.
And you can feel Edgar Wright's DNA in it. Michael Pena, I think, stole the whole movie. I thought he was great. You know, it's close to Guardians of the Galaxy in my mind, but to me, I don't remember what Guardians was even about. I don't know what the hell they were after or what the hell happened in that third act. I just remember, like, having a good time
yeah.
with it.
That was just another Infinity
was simple.
Gem.
Like, yeah. I understood what the goals were clearly and the stakes. So I really enjoyed Ant-Man. I still don't think that Marvel has made a movie as good as Dark Knight or, you know, what... I guess...
They're going for a different thing, X2. Though.
Yeah, I know.
They're just completely going... It's apples and oranges.
Okay... I mean, where did it stack up for you?
What, Ant-Man?
Yeah, yeah.
I liked it a lot. I gave it a very positive review, and I think I can't wait to bring my kids to it. I think kids are going to love this movie.
But in terms of the rest of the Marvel movies,
I think it. You know, it's it's kind of its own thing. I mean, this is where actually it was very encouraging that Marvel tried something different, sort of outside of its own box, and it worked. And it showed a willingness to do that, which is important because now we got Black Panther coming up. That's right. Going to have its own tone. That's another film that I'd love to know where they're going to turn for a director now that Ava's not doing it.
Right.
I sort of love that she turned it down too, just because I'm so tired of hearing. Like, I was just like, Ava's got to do it. It's got to be Ava. Nobody else but Ava can do. And then she was like, "No, that's okay. I'm good."
I think that they will find an African American filmmaker. I could totally see the dope director doing it. I don't know if a guy like Antoine Fuqua would be available or interested.
What about Ryan Coogler?
Yeah, maybe.
Creed looks amazing. I can't wait to see that movie. That's going to be so much fun if it's any good, and you know it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it could be Coogler. I had heard a rumor very early on. Don't go writing this. Jesus Uh-oh. Christ, listeners. But if they don't go with a black director, I'd heard the possibility of a guy like Brian Helgeland, who directed Chadwick in 42. You mm-hmm. know, that was the Jackie Robinson movie. Mm-hmm. A white guy directing it, and it was good. I liked the Jackie Robinson movie.
I liked it, too. I liked Harrison Ford in that, too, although everybody else freaked out about
it. Yeah, and Helgeland did the Tom Hardy movie Legend, so, you know, he is available once that film hits theaters mm-hmm. soon, so... Who knows? It would have been cool to see an Ava DuVernay Marvel movie, but I don't blame her for parting ways or walking away from it.
I don't either. It's a weird, that's just a weird job to take. I mean, some people really, really like the experience of it, and obviously others clearly do not.
Right.
Joss made no bones about the way he felt about the way things wound up as he was exiting that world.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Taylor...
Right, he just shit all over it.
Yeah, but Peyton Reed was like, no, it was fun, it was cool, I enjoyed it. It was kind of nice to walk into something where it was almost completely constructed.
Sure, and that's what James Gunn has said, too. And for people who say, you know, Marvel, DC gives directors the autonomy or whatever to you know, stay true to their vision and things like that, like, Marvel always has that James Gunn thing to kind of throw in people's faces, where he made the movie he wanted to make.
Yeah.
I don't think that he felt like he compromised at all. Couple of other news tidbits. What did we get out of Comic-Con? That Ennio Morricone is going to get score Hateful Eight. That's pretty cool.
That was cool news. I think it was like half the crowd knew what we were talking about.
Right. Yeah. Who's he?
By the way, that looks fun. I mean, obviously, it's Quentin, and it's his eighth movie, right?
Yes, exactly. Hateful Eight, eighth movie.
Eighth movie.
I'd heard it was the first time that the N-word was uttered in Hall H.
Is that right?
Yeah, in the footage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not by a panelist.
No, not by a panelist, but like, in the
run
footage.
Them out of there.
You know, a lot of young people in there.
How is that footage not leaked? All the other footage is leaked. Nobody bothered to...
You know what? I'm glad.
Oh, so
I'm
am
glad
I.
I'm glad because
I hate when that stuff happens.
I did feel bad for Quentin when that script leaked because obviously he was really upset. And I'm glad that he had a change of heart and decided to make the movie. What else is going on? What do you make of Crimson Peak?
Boy, I can't wait to see it, but I don't have any hope of it being any good. I know it's a very weird thing to say, but I like Guillermo and here's what bothers me. He keeps repeating the words gothic romance over and over. And I'm like, okay, we get it. It's a gothic romance.
Right.
Why are you beating us over the head with that? Because I think people are going to walk into it thinking they're going to see a scary, cool horror movie, and it's going to be a love story, and they're going to be like, what the hell was this? Gothic romance.
I'm convinced that there are like two Guillermo del Toros, essentially. There's a guy who makes these really cool foreign films, like Pan's Labyrinth and Devil's Backbone, and then there's the studio Guillermo, and I just haven't loved any of those movies. The Hellboys, the Pacific Rims.
I like the first Hellboy. Pacific Rim is a big disappointment to me.
I can't get on board with Crimson Peak. I don't know what the hell they're selling me. And I'm like totally the target demo for that. Like haunted house movie genre, sign me up.
Yeah.
Great cast.
Hiddleston, too. I could pretty much get into anything that he'll do.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That's a weird one, though. Yeah, I'm like, I bet I'm not going to like it, but I can't wait to see it.
And speaking of Guillermo, I think he was involved in Mama in some regard, right?
Yeah.
He like presented or produced it. Mama director Andy Muschietti. Replacing Cary Fukunaga on It. Do you care?
No. Nope. Next.
Okay. What else else do we have here? Michael Cera voicing Robin in the Lego Batman movie. I never even saw the Lego movie, gang. I'm not. I feel terrible about that, but.
What was I going to... Oh, Michael Cera.
Michael Cera. Robin.
Yeah, no.
The perfect sidekick, or...
Sure. Why not? Does he have a particular... Is his voice particularly...
It's distinct, I feel like. Yeah, it stands out. If I heard Michael Cera, I think I would be like, oh, that's him.
I think it's time for him to try again. He's been kind of out of the public eye for a while.
He's been doing a lot of indies.
Yeah. I mean, I think Scott Pilgrim sort of made him realize that he needed to take a little time off. Nice back.
Dude, Scott, I mean, look at Edgar.
No kidding.
Edgar.
Somebody needs to get off the mat.
I hear there's still problems with Baby Driver.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves the guy, though. What is the problem?
Because I think it's like $80 million. It's a lot of money to commit. And I don't know how much Ansel Elgort and Lily James, even though they're both young stars of movies that gross like $400 million, $500 million, and Fault in Our Stars and Cinderella, I don't know how much they're worth, you know, worldwide. And I think, we'll see if Baby Driver happens. I mean, I'd love to see another Edgar Wright movie, but it's
speaking of Ansel Elgort, is anybody more perfect to play the young Han Solo? If you look at pictures of Harrison Ford when he was in his 20s, he looks just like Ansel Elgort. I'm telling
you. What about the, did you see the guy who did the Star Wars, like, monologue or something? He played young Harrison Ford in Age of Adeline.
Okay.
You see that guy?
No, I don't.
Oh, my
don't.
God. You just watch that video. It was Harrison Ford. It was young Harrison Ford.
Weird. All right.
I think his name's Anthony Ingruber. Tough name.
Yeah, well, so is Ansel Elgort, though.
Sure.
Took me several tries to be able to say that.
I suppose
that
so. Yeah, Ansel wouldn't be bad. He wouldn't be bad. I think, again, I don't know how young they're going, if they want early 20s or later 20s.
I would think that's a kind of spinoff that they would want. At least a possibility of making two or three movies.
Mm-hmm.
So they would want to go younger.
I'd heard some possibilities, but it's not the right time or place.
I want you to get
for those kinds of rumors.
I want to know who's going to play Captain Marvel. Who's going to direct that movie? That's what I would ask. I'd be breathing down your neck for that. To your earlier question.
I mean, again, I'm hearing, what was it, Charlize and I'm blanking.
Too old.
She's too old. Exactly. That was the concern.
Captain Marvel has to be like mid 20s at the most, because she's going to be carrying these movies for 7 years.
Sure, but it's just like, how many really good young other than Jennifer Lawrence? I mean, don't tell me like Blake Lively or people like that.
Actually, Jennifer Lawrence shouldn't be too expensive for Marvel, though.
Mm-hmm.
She's too expensive.
But yeah, I am dying to see who's going to play Captain Marvel as well. How much time we got left here? 5 or so minutes.
Speed round.
Dan Aykroyd going to cameo in Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. We won't get into the details of the cameo because I think Paul Feig was a little upset about that. You know, he's been doling out a lot of information and photos and stuff, so I feel like he felt a bit frustrated when news of that cameo leaked. And now there's a lot of speculation about Ernie. I think you can take that to the bank. I think you will see Winston Zeddemore. Not Winston Zeddemore, but I think you're going to see an Ernie Hudson cameo.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. When did Ghostbusters come out?
1984.
Oh, Jesus.
It's as old as I am.
I mean, you know, when you're calling back to these movies that came out 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
When I was watching Terminator Genesis, there was a bunch of stuff in there that linked back to earlier movies mm-hmm. that I completely went over my head. I've seen them all. I've seen them recently.
There's a segment that won't care about Dan Aykroyd or Ernie Hudson, and they won't even recognize them.
But then
there's another segment that will appreciate that those guys show up, in a sense, to pass the torch.
I guess. I think this movie is incredibly promising. I don't think that's going on a limb at all to say that. I think it's going to be a mega, mega hit. That cast is great. You know, it's all the right parts and the right, at the right time. And, you know, I'm sick of it. Yes, and it is time for, somebody wrote this yesterday, stop calling it all female Ghostbusters. Just call it Ghostbusters because that's what it is. Totally on board with that. And I hope it's great.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't mind the descriptor because to me, whatever. Let's see. Movies we talked about. Yeah, man, you haven't seen Trainwreck.
No, I haven't.
And you don't know if you're going to.
I don't think I'm gonna. I'll catch it at some point.
Do you not watch her show, Amy Schumer?
I feel, okay, here's the thing. I've seen lots of Amy Schumer things. I think she's great. She's an incredible talent. Is she coming up to the Louis C.K. level? Possibly. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously she's having her moment. I don't watch her show. I haven't seen Trainwreck. And I feel, and I don't actively seek out her anything just because, I don't know, she's not really necessarily for me. I feel like I need an Amy Schumer timeout. I need to have a couple
days
go by.
It is a little much.
Where I don't see something in her feed yep. about her. It's just there's something abrasive about, and it's not necessarily Amy Schumer.
No, it's the team. It's the market. No. It's the machine.
I think it's the media. I think it's the things that the media is going and and digging out. Oh, look what she said at this award mm-hmm. show about, you know, screw you, men. We don't need men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get laid all the time, and I'm 170 pounds.
She gives
good
soundbite.
Yeah, but the soundbites that we, the media, choose to bring forth are all just like, after a while, I'm just like, can we just give me a week?
I mean, it's like Lena Dunham 2.0 in that sense. Wesley Morris over at Grantland kind of panned Trainwreck today, and I agreed with some of his points. I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was like a great date movie. I laughed out loud a lot. I'm not sure where it stacks up in Judd Apatow's filmography. Probably on the lesser half. I really think Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin, that kind of stuff is much better than Trainwreck.
Plus, we're talking about the movie press here. How about Jeff Wells going from...
Right.
From just completely total pivoting hate. From, who is this Amy Schumer person? She's not very attractive.
Right.
To, like, oh my God, this movie should be up for...
Right. H.E.'s own. Well, you know, that's just wait until you see the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, like, making all these judgment calls based on her looks, and I think she looks really good in the movie. She's slimmed down. Not that, I like her curves. I like that she's natural and a real woman. But she looks good in the movie. She fits in with some of those. There's like a big, no, I'm not going to ruin the ending. Never mind.
Yeah, don't ruin the ending.
Yeah.
One thing that I heard from somebody who saw it and liked it was like, the problem is kind of Bill Hader. It's not that he's bad in the movie. His character is this like dream guy, like manic pixie dream, manic.
Right.
Pixie Dream Boy
right.
was the words that I heard. And I thought, God, you know, of course nobody's ever going to pick up on that. And
right.
if we tried to go with that narrative, I'm probably in trouble just for even bringing it up. But
he's just a guy. He's just, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, I do think it's weird how Judd has sort of been marginalized in that marketing campaign. It's just been very much like an Amy Schumer movie and not as much a Judd Apatow movie. And it still has the hallmark Judd Apatow length problem.
Yes. Why? Why is he not listening to us about this?
It's like 205, and it needs to be like 110 tops.
Oh, my God. Judd, make a 90-minute comedy, please, just once, to show that you can do it and see what happens with it.
Yeah.
I love the guy. I think he's great.
But it's a good movie. I definitely recommend seeing Trainwreck, and I think you should absolutely watch Inside Amy Schumer. I crack up. I showed it. I introduced my mom to it this past week when I was home, and she thought it was hilarious. The last episode, Three Buttholes. Check that one out. Great, great sketch about cock blocking.
Here's the thing. Everything that I see about her, everything that I see, like her viral videos or on her show or clips or things that she does that are part of her oeuvre are great, are funny. They crack me up. I think they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I see about her talking at an award show or people clipping sound bites from stuff she said on a podium somewhere, I'm just exhausted with.
Yep. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about Woody Allen's Irrational Man and South Pond next week because those open next week.
I won't be here.
That's right.
You guys have fun with
me
that.
And Mark Riley. Stanford Prison Experiment opens today in limited release. Definitely check that out. Did you like it?
I thought it was it's a good movie that I did not like watching.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough sit.
It's exhausting.
You don't really want to be behind bars with all these kids, but it's an excellent movie, and if...
it's very well done, but just
check
not
out the trailer online. That may be it. That may be all the time that we have this week. Is there any last words or things that you wanted to bring up before we sign off?
It's been a weird summer. Just like a lot of ups and downs. I think everybody saw Mission Impossible last night. All the bloggers saw Mission Impossible
was
last
Buzz
night.
Mostly good?
It's very good. It's very, very good.
That's a fun franchise.
I'm not a fan.
Interesting. And yesterday, it's funny, yesterday I did a Drinking with the Stars with this kid, John DeLuca, who looks just like Tom Cruise.
Oh,
I mean, it's
that's
like...
That's not a bad way to go through life.
Yeah, no, seriously. and we were joking about maybe they should do like a young Ethan Hunt TV series.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah. Because I think it's time, you know, after five movies, it may be time for Tom to hang it up, especially if the movie underperforms. I think it's going to do well internationally, but in the U.S. it's
especially
not tracking.
If he plans on taking off a shirt all the time. Yeah. Well, not a bad idea.
So keep an eye out for that on the wrap. We're going to have Paul Rudd's top 10 movie quotes that I put together. It's kind of a fun list. This guy, he's had a hell of a career, you know, for someone who's not like a gigantic A-list megastar, at least in your head. Yeah, he's been doing solid work for two decades.
We never got into the Judy Greer discussion. I wanted to get into that.
She got marginalized in Ant-Man. I wish she had more
to do. I don't
care.
She's a working actress. She has plenty of roles. She's doing fine.
Oh, she's lovely.
Yeah, she's
I love seeing her pop up in Jurassic World and Ant-Man and that kind of stuff. Where can the good folks find you? Where can Schmoville
My
tune into your
Twitter
musings?
Handle is JLDLite. That's uppercase JLD, lowercase LITE. I switched.
What was behind the switch?
I used to be Notorious JLD, but I'm really not a hip-hop
He's
guy.
Turning his back on notoriety.
And
sorry.
I just, yeah, that was something I picked up during a career change. I thought I needed to go.
Okay,
something a little...
and check out Mashable.com for all your entertainment needs.
That's right. We are still building that team very, very quickly.
And you guys are killing it. You're like right below the New York Times and the BBC as far as a social footprint goes, right?
The social publishing is the way of the world right now.
Yep.
SEO is dead. You need to have a big social footprint. And, we're right there. And we're right in the top three. And we're probably going to overtake the Times at some point. You know, we figured it would be this summer, but I think it'll be more like maybe early
That's
next
incredible.
Year.
Mark Zuckerberg should get into bed with you guys. You can find my stuff over on therap.com. I've got a lot of goodies. You know, I was on vacation for 2 weeks, so it takes me a little while to get back up into speed and make some calls. But, hopefully next week, the dam will break. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheInSnyder.
Best Twitter account in, entertainment journalism
sure,
right
so,
there.
Something like that. Alright guys, thank you so much for tuning in.
Thanks for having me again.
Yes, you're welcome back anytime. Right. This has been Meet the Movie Press on the Popcorn Talk Network. Rate, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff, and enjoy the weekend.
Ooh.
Go see Ant-Man. Later folks.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.